Well, hey, everybody. So excited to have with me today on the Self-Made Web Designer Podcast, Mr. Josh Ailes. He reigns all the way from Gilbert, Arizona. He is a computer science major at ASU right now, and he also works for the same company that I do, Showit, and he works on the support staff here, so... And just recently, he's begun freelancing as a web designer. So he himself is a self-made web designer. Josh, so good to have you on the call today, man.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. I mean, really, a huge portion of why we're here in the first place is because you and I had a conversation in a hot tub, and it got a little steamy.
It was a steamy conversation all the way down in Cabo, Mexico.
Cabo San Lucas. You were just punching back some mudslides, if I recall.
Might have had a few mudslides. Those are really good. The chocolate milkshake.
Yeah, it's more milkshake than it is anything alcohol, but you're young, so it's all good, man.
Yeah. It was my drink of choice.
Yes, absolutely. And they were 100% free the whole time, so you had a lot of them. Hey, why don't we talk a little bit just about your journey, like how you got to where you are as a freelancer and where you are today and your dreams and visions and aspirations for the future.
All right, for sure. So how I got to where I am today, I'm still starting now. Not too far into things, I'd say probably about 6 months. But just even within that amount of time, I've seen like more than I would have ever imagined from the start. So how I got to where I am right now, definitely started with that conversation in the hot tub. Chris, you approached me, you know, we were all hanging out. It was basically all of us from work in that hot tub, and we were just talking, you know, having fun. And then you were just there talking about like what I wanted to do with my life. And you asked me, like, I told you, like, I want to make something, you know, something I've always wanted to do is like have something of my own. Like I've tried like Twitch streaming, YouTube, a passion project, you know, but I've never followed through with anything. And I have all this knowledge that I feel like hasn't really like cultivated anything, hasn't really created anything. So I'm doing all this in school. I love technology. I'm producing these projects, but they don't add up to anything that I can show for. And that's what I really feel like I want to do, because I'm surrounded by everyone in class. Like, everyone is at either the same level or above me. And we all know so much, but at the end of the day, I just feel like that's not everything. Like, I have nothing that says my name on it that I've worked hard to get to this point. So how I've gotten to like want to do this is during that conversation, you kind of told me like, you can do this. You have the knowledge. You're the one stopping yourself. Like, if you want to make something, then do it, go after it. It's not that hard. Yeah. And so that's what kind of just resonated with me. Like, if I want to do something, then why am I not doing it? Yeah. So I just needed that little like kickoff from you, you know?
Yeah.
And definitely helped.
That's awesome, man. So talk about what was holding you back. What were the things that were keeping you from just launching out on your own?
Honestly, I think it was a little bit of a fear of, you know, what if I fail? Because no one I talk to really is like, has that, no one ever has the same thoughts about anything, but no one around me was trying to do something like this. So I didn't know where to start, how it was going to go if I did start. If I did meet with a client, had a contract, there was money involved. If I couldn't provide, like, what's going to happen? Like, just all these fears of being worried about providing that something I said I'd be able to do. So I think that was kind of what was my driving fear of not doing anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And so once you got started, was it as scary as you thought it was going to be, or was it worse, or was it better?
Oh, it was so much better. So much better. So I don't know why I pictured it in my mind, but like the thought of like a contract with a client and don't know how to do something. Oh, I'm going to fail. Like, this is going to look so bad on me, all this stuff. But once I got that first gig, you know, you kind of just told me just to go after and do it.
Yeah.
And just to get something in place, you know, figure it out as you go within reason, but just get something started. So I had that first gig and I was so surprised because I got the contract. Everything was good. I got my first paid gig from you. And then I realized, like, I know how to do everything that's going on. Like, why haven't I, like, started this before? I'm capable of it. It's not that hard. Like, I picked up all these tech skills over the years. Like, anything that I need to teach myself in this scenario, I'll pick it up like that. Like, it was more so, like, just needing to be thrown into it.
Yeah, for sure. So talk a little bit about maybe a moment when you got something that you didn't know how to navigate through it. Because I think a lot of people who are wondering if they should get started are thinking, what if a scenario comes up that I've never seen before? What do I do from there? Were you ever faced with that in the midst of the projects that you've worked on?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So there's been several times, actually. So for example, the first one I picked up, we had the scope of the project all laid out. Things were going so well. It seemed easy. Everything's going to be click and clear. And then halfway through, he approached me with wanting to do something additional on the project, which was like this custom built out calculator for his site. And so, you know, I never really made a calculator for the exact thing he was bringing up. So it was kind of like a red flag going. So I was a little bit worried in that moment, but then I realized I approached you about it. And then you said either do it or don't. It wasn't in the contract, but if you feel like you can do it, just do it. And so I just did some research, figured it out, and then he liked it. Everything was good. So that was probably the first time I was worried about something and realized like I can overcome it if there's something I'm not sure about.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's the case for most things that you encounter building a website for a client, especially if it's like a B2B or business to consumer website. You know, most of the time they're not going to want some functionality that is just crazy off the wall, that's going to take hours and hours of programming. And there probably is already a solution out there, you know, that is easy to figure out or easy just to plug and play. And I think a lot of people are just so afraid of getting caught with their hands behind their back going, I'm sorry, I don't know how to do this, which honestly is not a bad thing. You know, like if that ever happens to you and you admit like, hey, I'm sorry, this is beyond my expertise, I don't think that's unreasonable, but I think more times than not, especially with as much information as out there, you know, it's figure outable, you know, like you can take some steps to get to that point. How much of the websites that you've built, have you used a lot of the computer science stuff that you've been learning and working on in school?
So that's the funny thing. The computer science stuff is more so, this is what I've come to find out as I've gone through school. So I'm in my third year, pretty close to the end. Have a ton of back-end knowledge. But the funny thing about that is that it's a lot of the theories behind things, picking up languages. It's a lot. What I've come to realize is that all this stuff in school is really teaching me how to think, how to think in the mindset of a programmer. And so how that's kind of helped me is, it's helped me troubleshoot different scenarios, figure out how to make things happen. Not so much, oh, I've learned this programming language in school, I made this in school, and now I can use it on a project. That's never really happened so far. But it's definitely helped me to have the mindset of, okay, this is what I need to get to. This is how I can search online, read forums, how I can plug and play, how I can match things up. So in that aspect, that's definitely helped me, but not really a lot of relation besides just the general knowledge.
Yeah. Okay. So do you feel like if you, let's say you go back in time and you didn't start getting your computer science degree, do you feel like that would have kept you from being good at being a web designer, building websites for other people?
Oh, not at all. Like, anyone could, if you have a passion for this, like, it's definitely something you can do without any education. I totally 100% feel like that's where I stand on it. As long as you have, I feel like you do have to have a little bit of a tech savviness to you, just to be able to navigate around things and figure things out. But, nothing like no computer science programming needed.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. So you mentioned, I was able to get you that first gig, which I was happy to do. And then you had a season where you were kind of looking on your own. So talk about that season. What did you do in those first few days to find your first few projects, and tell us about where you are now as far as project load and how things are going in that regard.
Definitely. So you got me that first project, which was awesome. Super helpful. Thank you. Landed that, finished that up, and then it was kind of like, okay, I need to figure this out on my own point. And so in the beginning, I heard you talk about Upwork before. So I set up an Upwork account. I set up my own personal landing page to my site. I don't even have like a really built out website at the time. Like, it's just like a landing page. It's got some client reviews on it and stuff. And that's about all I've needed right now, but probably down the road, I'll build that out more. And then kind of from there, I went on Upwork. I found so many need web design redesigns, so many jobs posted about that. So I just applied like crazy to them. And there was probably a good month I didn't hear anything, and I was wondering what I was doing wrong. So I had no gigs, nothing. I was asking around, talking to people, but nothing was happening. None of my friends, no one I really know needed a website at the time. So I was kind of just in that stage where I'm not really sure where to go. I completed one site. It went well. I want to do more, but, nothing's just right in front of me. So Upwork didn't land anything for that small amount of time. And then I started narrowing it down further just to get a job. So before, I was just applying to random redesign projects. And then there's the software Showit that I'm really familiar with. So I narrowed it down even to further to just that. Found a good amount of Showit related projects. A lot less than just website redesigns in general. And so I applied to some of those. Got a couple really low paying, small jobs. Not full redesigns or anything, but I figured they'd be good for a review and help build my portfolio. So I landed those. I was happy about that. And then let's see, where did it go from there? So from there. Okay. So that was good. That was awesome. Those are really low paying, nothing too crazy. And then I heard that, from a relationship I have is that there's a school design that needed to be done. So I approached it with the mentality that, okay, this is another project that I know about that I can go about doing. So I met with people, and through my connection of talking to people there, someone actually gave me another job of another website. So that was another full redesign on the side of the school design. And then, so both those just happened basically back to back. And then all this time I was still applying on Upwork and then adding stuff on there. And then I connected with, these people who run like a branding agency, and they do a lot of like website design stuff. So that was a really good connection for me, because, then they kind of like picked me up for all their, design stuff on the website design side of things, and like WordPress, and that was really awesome. So that's a big one that I'm really happy about. And then it just went from there. So there's definitely the beginning time period, nothing was happening, and I was a little bit worried. But once it all started like hitting back to back, then I kind of realized like, okay, it's gonna be okay. But now I just got like this big load right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think something that's really cool, it's important that you didn't just keep applying and keep applying. You looked at the way in which you were applying and you adjusted your methods. So it wasn't just redesigns, it was show it redesigns, and you really dialed in, okay, this is specifically what I do. And it sounds like that helped you quite a bit.
Yeah, definitely. So when you're on Upwork, just with website redesigns, there's probably anywhere from like 5,000 to 10,000 jobs that you can go and snag. And even if you do filter between 5 and 10 or 1 to 5, I found like there's probably someone that, you know, is a big name applying to those or can do it for less money than you want to do it for. And I think that's kind of where I was limited in the beginning stages, at least. I didn't have a portfolio or anything to really set me apart. So
yeah. So you figured out another way to set yourself apart, which is perfect. So that's awesome, yeah. Man. So tell me a little bit about maybe the main things that you've learned in these first few months that you would want somebody else to know that's just getting started.
So when you're first getting started, don't get discouraged if you don't have jobs. Keep just finalizing like your workflow, things like that, because it can definitely feel like
Talk a little bit about workflow, because I think that's probably a foreign concept to a lot of people who aren't in like the computer science world or haven't done a lot of web design stuff.
Definitely. So when you start a job, there's going to be steps you want to have in place to be able to be successful during the job. So before you even pick up the job, you want to be contacting that person, you know, figuring out what kind of they want on their site, where this project's really going to go. So you'll want to have some things in place. Personally, what I'll do is I'll communicate back and forth, kind of get the scope of the project down. So you want to figure out what you're going to be designing before you pick it up. And then, you know, just talk back and forth, get a contract. Definitely have a contract like laid out that you can just kind of customize per project. So that'll be good for you. And then just work on how you're going to approach each project. Because if you don't have steps in place for each project, you're never going to be able to like take on more. And that's kind of what I found, is you're going to get a lot of things jumbled up. And it's going to really slow down your process. So if you can lay out steps of how I'm going to get to point A to point B, what I need to do, how my contract's going to be, what messages I'm going to send users when I first am talking to them, how I'm going to be checking in with people, when it's going to be complete, stuff like that, I think that's really important for picking up a lot of work.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and at the end of the day, it's not doing a good job isn't just about handing somebody a good website. It's about the process from when you get started to when you're finished. So it sounds like you're figuring that out. So you've got somebody who's like you 6 months ago that's like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What are the things that you say they absolutely have to start doing in order to be successful in this?
They have to get after it. Like, no one's going to do it for them. So they have to make their own process. Like, they can have tips from anyone else. They can follow anyone else, but no one else is going to do it for them. So they have to be finding those jobs themselves, getting after it. But one thing that's really important that I've come to find is that in the beginning, you're going to be really eager to land the jobs. Anything that comes after you, you're going to want it. And that's kind of what I was, where I'm at still. Like, leading up to here, I've just been going after anything. Cause I had no portfolio, and if you're just starting, you have no portfolio. So anything sounds great. But if you can try to keep in mind, like just focus on the jobs that you're going to be proud of and that are really going to like, that you can spend your time on, rather than just picking up anything and everything, like, I think that'll be good for you.
Yeah, because you're in that place right now where you've got more work than you really even want. And so now you're able to pick and choose which clients you're going to say yes to and which clients you're going to say, hey, I might not be the right person for on this one.
Definitely, yeah. So when you first start out, like when I first started out, I had no concept of what the value I'm doing is. I had no idea. So people come to me and they'd say, okay, can you do this site for this amount of money? And no matter what the value was, I'd never had a job. So that instantly sounded like, wow, that's a really great value. So yeah, I'll pick that up. I'll do that job for that amount. I'll spend this time. But what I found out is that when you do your job, it's never, say you think the job's going to take you, you know, 40 hours. You're pretty confident in that. Well, you're going to do that job. You're going to run into obstacles. You want to make it look good before you give it to the user. It's probably going to take you 60 to 80 hours, you know, to finalize it. So I've just come to find out, like, there is value in what you do, and people will respect that value. You just got to find out what that value is to you.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit more about Upwork, because I know at the very beginning, when we were first chatting, you had applied to Upwork, but your account hadn't been approved. And then you circled back around and tried again, and then they approved you. So talk a little bit about that. What was the difference between the first time and the second time?
So we were talking in the hot tub, you mentioned Upwork, and I was like, oh yeah, I applied to that. I applied to that probably, I don't know, maybe a year ago. I had a buddy, he gave me some work on migrating content from WordPress to Drupal. So both, you know, kind of similar software. And he said he posted the job on Upwork. So that's when I first kind of heard about Upwork. And I made an account on there, and yeah, I got declined. It said that my account was too similar to other people. So I had nothing that really set me apart, so I didn't get accepted. And then this time around, I think what I had on there was a lot more experience just with everything that I do, a lot more knowledge for sure. I put on there things like things that I picked up in school, at work, just everything, courses I've taken, anything related to it that I thought might separate me, I put on there, and then I was accepted.
That's awesome. So did you add like portfolio images, or was it all text-based kind of stuff?
The funny thing is I put the portfolio image of that one site I had designed, and then my main like landing page. That's it. Then everything else is text.
Yeah, great. So, but it just sounds like you probably put a lot more effort and intentionality into it the second time around with the how you filled it out and what you're placing on there.
Yeah. So I think what I did was more, like you said, more intentionality. I had to get that in place. I think probably when they saw it, it was a lot more like, kind of felt probably to them that there was more value in what I was doing. Whereas the first time around, I kind of just was seeing what was up with it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay. So talk to me about the future. What are your plans and hopes for freelancing? And is this going to be a full-time career, or are you just keeping this a side hustle? What's going on?
So right now I'm not sure, to be completely honest. I know that I enjoy it. I know that it's adding to my portfolio, which I'm super proud of, adding to my knowledge, but I'm not sure where I want to take it. I do know that so far it's helped me pay through school, and so far I'm debt-free in school, so I'm kind of happy about that. But where I want to take it, I'm not sure. Like, I know I want to develop one day, so probably I'll probably keep this as a side hustle. Probably won't be my main thing, but it's going to be up there for sure. Something that I am passionate about.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, I mean, the cool thing is you can pivot it a little bit, and rather than focusing on the design side of things, you can focus on the development aspects of it, because there's a huge market out there for that as well. So anyway, well, Josh, I really appreciate you. I'm really proud of you, man, for going for it and not giving up. I know it can get discouraging and a lot of people quit, but you kept going. So well done, man. Good job.
Thank you. I'm excited to see what happens.
Any parting words for the audience before we sign off here?
I would say if you're considering this, if you don't know what to do, where to start, you know, just figure it out and get after it, because you can do it if you really want to do it. And it's scary, but Chris helped me out. He can help you out. Like, I'm very thankful for Chris. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. But you're welcome, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. Tell everybody where they can find you if they want to look at your website and all the things that you've done.
You guys can find me at joshales.com. That's joshales.com.
Awesome, man. Thanks so much, Josh. And look forward to seeing what comes of what you're doing in the future.
Thank you, Chris.
Cool, man. Thank you, brother. Painless, easy.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's going to be good.
Chris, were you recording the whole time?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, hey.
No, because... Oh, what's up? Jay just popped in here.
Why is my blurry?
Oh, because it has a cool little blurry effect on it.
He's got the dreamy feature on.
Yeah, but no, Chris, I saw like the recording thing pop up like halfway through, so I wondered if like you had forgot to record the beginning.
No. So I've got two recording plugins on it, and
okay.
One of them was recording from the very beginning, and then but I can't tell if it's recording video, and so that's when I press the Skype thing, just to be like, oh man, I hope the video is coming through. I think it will have both, but I just bought the plugin, so who knows if it actually does.
Yeah.
So anyway, if anything, we got the podcast out of it. So that's a win.
Cool. Yeah.
All right, brother. Appreciate it, man. So I don't know. I'm launching in March, so I'm not quite sure when this comes out, but I'll throw you a message whenever I throw it in there. So
cool. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Talk to you later.
Awesome. Thanks, man. See ya.